Hello, hello there, outliers. Nyama Xiong here, and thank you so much for letting me be a part of your journey. Today, we are going to be diving into a conversation here on Outliers Edge. And this conversation is all designed to help you, who has a massive mission in the world, to make as much impact and as much revenue as you can in a way that is aligned to you. And so we brought in an outlier today to who's going to share their journey on how it went by. Today, we have Brandon Allen on the podcast. Brandon, it's an absolute pleasure to spend time with you, to share space with you. I'm really looking forward to where this conversation goes.
Yeah, Niam, thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited for the conversation.
Yeah, same here. So, Brandon, what I want to do is like ground myself in our conversation right now by just sharing a bit about my experience of you two. Are you good with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, cool. So like what I it's that let's do it right there, Brandon, that I'm really tuned into about you, right? As we I get that you've had a vast amount of experience, and what I also feel with it is that there's a smoothness that comes with it, an element of like let's just continue to move into the moment and also just allow the there's an assuredness. I think that's the right word. Assuredness and a trust in self for whatever emerges. It's an interesting place, Brandon, if I can say this here, like being on a podcast, because people are like, whatever happens, wherever the conversation goes, it goes. But there's a certain quality that you bring that just says, okay, we can really just like go out and jive and dance with this. So thank you for bringing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I realize like I appreciate it too. It's something like I pick up that from people. I'm like, oh yeah, you're gonna make this easy. This is gonna be fun. Like this is gonna be easeful, easy, and fun. So that feels really good. So Brandon, I'm sharing a little bit about my experience of you right here. But throughout this whole conversation, I'm gonna do my best to help people get to see who you are on the inside rather than just like what you are on the outside. But let's take some time right now to see you on the outside. Tell us a little bit about you, the work you do, and the mission that you're on.
So let me start with something personal based off of what you just said. One of the benefits of a less than ideal childhood is I think it prepares a lot of us who experienced instability in our childhood to think very presently in the moment and just to take what comes, because we learned when we were younger that things are not always very certain. And so, how do we deal with those things? And everyone has their way of interacting and doing those things differently. But for me, it has caused, for better or worse, for me to be very present in the moment and just like, let's take life as it comes, which in some ways can be really great. In some ways, people can find very challenging about who I am. But for me, how that has shaped my experience and the work that I do now is I love to be an advocate for other people. And I started learning that in my world, in the corporate world. So I spent a decade working in finance. And so the funny thing about working in finance was I really thought I wanted to be like a money guy. I loved movies like Michael J. Fox did this movie called The Secret of My Success, like an 80s movie. As a middle schooler, I was big on Wall Street, Gordon Gekko. You think about all these 80s movies that, were really marked by greed and money and all these kinds of things. And I really thought that maybe that was a pathway that I wanted to get into, of course, in a more ethical way, but that was a pathway that I wanted to get into. And so I got my first job in finance. I'd gotten a degree in economics and business administration. And I realized within 2 months that finance wasn't for me. And it wasn't just the work of finance. It was sitting in not a cubicle, they called them pods. Like, I think it was just a way to reframe that shitty thing to make it sound even better, even though it wasn't, but still, being put in a box and staring at a computer all day. And, that was my experience. So the funny thing about that was I stayed for 10 years. So I knew 2 months into my career that it wasn't for me. I stayed for 10 years. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that I didn't really know what else to do. I mean, I was really ashamed in some ways. I was embarrassed. Like, how do I get a degree in these disciplines and then get into that work and realize it was wrong. I spent 4 or 5 years of my life in college to do a career that I realized it wasn't for me right away, but I also didn't know what else to do. So I just made the best of it for as long as I could, and then had the opportunity to get out of the corporate world. And I worked for a privately held company as a COO and did a lot of operationals work and all that kind of stuff. Well, there was a couple of things that shaped my work that I do today in those experiences. Number one, one of the things I learned in the corporate world that really helped me be a better manager, because I wasn't very good at it when I started, was coaching. I took a coaching class from the Center for Management and Organizational Effectiveness. I don't even know if this organization still exists, but they did a training called Leader as Coach. And I mean, it was mind blowing to me. I thought, oh my gosh, like this is a way to relate to my employees in a way that was completely different from what I'm doing, but also empowering to them, but also empowering to me. I really loved it. And when I employed it, it worked fantastically well. So what I realized is like, I can help develop and mold someone's career. I can help be a stand for their greatness. So I really love that. Working in a privately held company, I was given a lot of flexibility and freedom. And what I realized in working with that company and then being exposed to a lot of entrepreneurs was that they weren't very organized. So they had a dream, they had revenue, they had all these things, but the organization behind it wasn't very good. And so there's two things that I feel like I bring to the table really well for someone. One of them is organization. I feel like I just love puzzles of all kinds. And I love to see how a puzzle can fit and work and get put together. And I love being curious about things and people and what really makes them tick and what really makes them work. And so I've kind of blended those two things into a now 15 plus year career in transformational coaching work that I've done with clients over the years.
Brandon, there is something like that is like lighting up inside of me as I hear you say this. And what I think it is one, you talked about the word presence earlier, and I think I'm really glad that you used that word, because I was trying to identify why was it so important to me what you said, and when you frame it in the word of presence, being able to navigate the uncertainty in that moment, it really clicked and resonated really strong. Yeah. I'm like, this is why that's so important to me. Yeah. So thank you for that. And I can feel like you're like, not only are you like your presence, but you're also present, or maybe it's the other way. Not only are you present, but you also have presence. Yeah. And I hear it in what you just shared here. Right. So as you were talking, like I was drawn in to every part of like every story that you had, as well as like the ways that everything logically like came together. And I like to put that in there because for me, it's one thing to say I can help entrepreneurs who are thinking about a whole bunch of different things and have all these different things going on in their mind to get organized. And it's another way to like actually demonstrate it through the way that you come off there. So I just wanted to say right off the bat, like it feels like you live your talk, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've been doing transformational coaching for 15 years now then, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. What keeps you doing it?
Man, it is just really, I mean, I think there's two things, right? What's in it for other people and what's in it for me. So what's in it for other people is, I love to see people take a next step. What I love is helping someone see that a problem that they're experiencing or a challenge that they're experiencing is not as elusive as they think it is, right? They're overestimating the challenge that exists for them, but they're also underestimating their ability to really engage in that challenge and really do that. So I love to kind of unlock that door of insight where someone can really see a problem from a different way and make that problem smaller so that they accomplish things that they never thought possible. And so I really love that. I love learning. So it's a great way to learn. Like I love to just hear other people's perspectives, insights, things like that, because I learn from them and I glean things from them. So I learn as much from my clients a lot of times as they might learn from me. And so that's great. And then for me, I just think entrepreneurship and doing your own thing is the purest form of self-expression of who you are. And so a lot of times we're forced to work, or, and I shouldn't say forced, we choose to work in environments that maybe don't allow us to fully express who we are. When I was in the corporate world, I mean, there's limits to what I can do, how I do it, all those kinds of things. And I respect that, because as an organization, there needs to be some guardrails for how things work. But when you do your own thing and you serve in your own way, man, it's the purest expression of who you are and your gifts and talents. And it just allows you to go on that journey of really discovering more. So I think the thing I like the most about it is every client that I work with, every marketing strategy that I try, every system that I create, every podcast episode that I do, every talk that I give allows me to get a deeper understanding of who I am, what I want, and where I want to go. And that's just really exciting.
But that last part also really gets me, because I like, it's so funny, Brandon, because like, as you're talking, I'm like, oh, I have so many, I'm going to ask about this, I'm going to ask about this. And then like, you bring something and I'm like, ooh, you just brought up something I thought was really wonderful, where you're like, as you continue building new systems, new client, having new clients, so on and so forth, you are, it feels like you're still on the journey.
Yeah.
Of figuring out. So tell me a little bit about that here, like about actually, like I just want to call that into space around still being on the journey. We'll come back to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
What's capturing me right now is like, okay, transformational coach, 15 years, something about that. Like in my mind, I'm like, what does that work out math wise? So we're talking right now in 2024. So it means that you started around like 2009, right?
Yeah.
So,
2008, actually, it's been about 15 and a half years.
Okay. Yeah. Like, thank you for that. Right. So 2008, when I think about this, and maybe it's like, maybe I just wasn't aware of things, but like, I feel like nowadays there are a lot of coaches out there, right? People are like, okay, like, and it's essentially, it feels like you became a coach before it was cool to become a coach. Right.
Yeah.
Or before like, and so what's going on in my mind is I'm curious about the different jumps, like you went from finance and you stayed in that for 10 years. And then you went into like COO, and then you went into coaching. I would love for you to just talk about like what needed to change inside of you in order to make each of those different moves there. Cause there are outliers out there that are in a comfortable position or in things that people know, but who they are truly to themselves want something different. And I'd love that you got into this before it was easier to be a coach, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, gosh, it was really a difficult journey in some ways, right? So leaving the corporate world was hard because I made good money and it was pretty stable. I had a family at that point. I started having kids, and so, you know, I can provide for them. And so it was pretty scary, honestly, to leave that environment because I didn't really know. And this is really the thing that we all confront in change is it's a lot easier to hold on to what we know, even if what we know is not ideal. And there was plenty about my work that was not, to embrace something that could be better, but also may not be, and do something different. And so when I left my career, and honestly, this is going to be funny when you hear this, some people may think, well, I don't know why that was your catalyst, but I had had a tremendous amount of success. I was on a really successful run in the corporate world, working in growth and helping the business unit that I was responsible for grow. And I remember having a remarkable run of a 4-month stretch right before I left that, we had had just a tremendous amount of success, won some awards and done some things that honestly, if someone does that once in their career, some of the things that we achieved, they would feel pretty excited about it. We did it 3 times in 4 months. And then I had a month where I missed my projections, and I didn't miss them by a lot. I missed them by a couple $100,000, which in the grand scheme of money that we're talking about was not a lot, but I missed. And we're still ahead for the year. Things are still fine. And not once did I get a call from our senior VP thanking me for the success that we had when we were successful. But I did get a call from him when we missed. And it really bothered me. I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. Like that was the thing out of all the things I'd been tolerating where I thought, I can't do it anymore. Like, I can't work in this environment. And I went home to my wife and I said, I think I'm going to quit. And so I went back to work later that week. I talked to my boss and I said, hey, I need to leave. Either something else within the company or maybe something outside of the company. Well, then my wife said, well, if you're going to leave the company, which she was kind of shocked that I actually really did quit. She thought I was just, I think, saying that. And I really did. And so the company asked me to stay on for a few months. So I stayed on for 3 or 4 months, clean up some deals, some things I was working on. And then my wife and I decided to move and do all this stuff. And so I reached out to a friend of mine and just said, hey, I'm looking for other opportunities. I may stay with this company and work somewhere else, or I may just leave the company altogether. So he said, hey, why don't you work for me? Like, let me tell you what I'm up to. So I flew out to Salt Lake, where I'm living now, where I was from, and sat down with this guy. And I was really inspired by the vision of what they were doing, what they were creating. So I moved my family back to Salt Lake, a place I said I would never live again, coincidentally. And so I started this new journey. Well, this company that I was working with now was a privately held company. They were heavily invested in real estate, commercial properties, residential properties. Well, for all of you who lived in 08 and 09, it was not a good time for real estate. And so here I am in 07. I start this job. By the end of 08, I'm out of a job. The company that I was with completely folded. And I am left with, what do I do now? So the first transition was really easy. The second one was not my choice. And so, you know, I don't know if I would have started coaching when I did, had it not been for that happening. And so for the first time in my life, I found myself without a job, without really knowing what my next step was going to be. And, you know, I just sat down with my wife and I said, hey, I've made a lot of connections with entrepreneurs and leaders. I know people need a lot of organizational development work, stuff that I can do really well. I said, what do you think about me going out and to consult and do some consulting work for clients? And my wife's like, well, hey, let's give it a shot. Let's try it. And so when I first started out in coaching, I wasn't really a coach. I was really a consultant. I was telling people what to do. And I think this is the thing about coaching that gets confusing, right? A lot of people call themselves coaches that don't coach. What they do is they're consultants, they're strategists that tell people how to do things and what to do. A real coach doesn't do that per se. A real coach helps the client discover what is best for them and what's the best path forward. Now, we might have tools and things to help them get there, but we're really putting that in their hands. So I didn't start out as a coach. I was a consultant. But here's what I noticed. I would sit down with a client. I would create an organization plan. I would put this thing together. I mean, it's awesome. This is going to organize your world. You're going to love it. What I noticed after a couple of years of this is time and again, the clients didn't execute. We had this plan. We had the roadmap. We would give it to them and they didn't do anything with it. And I thought, man, am I bad at this? Like, do I suck at consulting? Like, what is going on here? Like, what am I missing that is getting in my way? And it first started out as a discussion in habits. And I started to recognize that there were a lot of habits that people brought to the table that were impeding their ability to really do their work. And so I started kind of talking a little bit about habits, and that started to move the needle a little bit. And then what I started to get into is, why do they have the habits that they have? And then I started remembering the coach training that I did and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, man, I should take a coach approach to this. And what it became was helping people understand their relationship to things that they struggle with. So I'll give you an example. Time management is a big thing that people really feel disorganized with. Hey, I don't use my time well. Things get away from me. Projects take too long, those kinds of things. Well, you could go to David Allen and get getting things done. And you could go to Franklin Covey and learn the Covey quadrant. And you could do all these things, right, in learning how to manage your time. But it's rarely a how-to issue. But it is a relationship issue. And in that case, it's how do I relate to time? And for a lot of us, we have an abusive relationship with time because of things that we've learned over the years about time, what it means, how we use it. And so what I started to help people do is when we had a conversation about time, I said, look, I have a lot of strategies and techniques that work really well to manage your time. But instead of getting into that, let's talk about your relationship to time over the years. So for instance, I had a client who I knew was very well read, who was a very smart person and knew a lot about time management. I already knew he did, but he said he needed time management help. And I said, I don't believe you. I don't believe that time management is the thing that's holding you back. I said, so let me ask you this. What is this really about? Because I don't think we need to talk about how to put your schedule together, your calendar. I think you know how to do it. And he thought about it and he was like, you know what, man, what it really is I can't get the voice out of my head about my dad, who I love, who was a great guy, but who continuously told me that the only way to be successful is to work yourself into the ground every single day. So he said, what I feel conflicted about is when I have days that aren't great, or I take time away to be with my family, I can't get the voice of my dad out of my head that says the only way to be successful is to work, 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 and never, ever stop. And I said, cool. I said, if that's the game you want to play and that's the thing you want to work on, that would be a much worthier goal than whatever strategy or tactic that we might put together around time that is short-lived. So that's kind of how I evolved into what I do now. There were many iterations of Brandon as a coach and what that looked like over the years.
All right, Brandon, thanks for that. There's a couple different things. One, thanks for taking us through the journey. I wasn't expecting all of it, so it's given me a couple different places to go in. I guess the thing here is, like, as I'm hearing this year, I'm hearing the journey and some of the unexpected parts. Where were some places where you just like crash and burn, where you're just like, man, like on this journey here of doing this, like, I tried this and it failed, or, you know, I thought this was going to be happening here. Cause I have a lot of outliers out here that where they may not be coaches, but they're in a game of transformation when whatever they want to do, they have like a bigger purpose behind them. And then B, like, you know, it's good right now to be able to hear like how, like we can see you landed on your feet, you know, like, you know, 2008 yeah. happened, all this happened. Yeah. I would love to just go into some of the places where you're like, yo, this was actually a really harrowing time, and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, let's start after I lost my job. So I start consulting, and one of the hardest things I think in consulting and coaching is client acquisition. Like, how do I attract clients? How do I get someone to trust me to do that work when realistically I haven't been doing consulting or coaching work for other people? Now I've been working, but not in that function. So I took some people on for free. I had three people who I reached out to and said, hey, will you let me work with you for free, provided you can let me use you as a case study and all that, right? But even with that data, I get out there, I'm doing it for 2 or 3 years. I'm barely making it. And in a lot of ways, I'm not making it. And I'm thinking, man, this isn't going to work. So I was ready to throw in the towel. So I start interviewing for jobs because I'm thinking this isn't going to work. And then I'm going to church one day. It's a Sunday morning. I had a friend of mine call me and he said, hey, he said, you know, you've talked about doing some coaching and consulting work for my clients. He was in the financial advisory space. And he said, I actually really think I want to bring you in to do some of this coaching and consulting work. So here I was, doing interviews, all this stuff. I'm throwing in the towel. I get this phone call and he says, cool. He's like, would you be open to doing that? And I said, yes. And this is in true entrepreneurial fashion. He said, cool. I just sold 4 people into this new program of yours. Like, how about I pay you X amount of dollars per client to coach them? And I already have 4 clients that I sold. And I was like, and I laughed because this is the kind of guy he is. He's just always like, act first, figure it out later type of thing. And so it blew my mind because I thought, oh my God, that is the thing that I need to get my foot in the door. Right. And so that helped me get there. And then, you know, I'm doing okay for a while. And then, you know, like I think about the business journey and we spend a lot of time building relationships with a lot of people. And we spend a lot of time trying to have a lot of connections. What I've found over this journey is it's really a handful of people that have made a tremendous impact. And this is not a slight to anyone I've worked with or coached over the years, but fast forward a few years after that, I'm starting to, you know, gain some decent traction and things are going well. What catapulted me into another level is I had a client that I was working with in Canada who said, you know what, I'd love to put on an event for you. Now, you may know this already, and some of our listeners may have experienced this as well. I have a lot of people who say, yeah, I'd love to promote something for you or do something. And it fell flat on its face, right? Like, I don't know your promotional skills. I don't know about your ability to put an event together and put butts in seats. If you've ever done an event, I mean, it can be challenging to really do that. So I'm pretty skeptical of this guy. And here's the funniest thing is, because I was skeptical, I kind of wanted to hedge my bet. And I said, listen, I'll do that. Because he wanted to split the gate. So he's like, I'm going to charge $500 a person. Let's split the gate. And I thought, I'm not splitting zero. Like, if I'm going to go up there and do it, I said, look, I want to get paid. I told him, just pay me $2,500 and I'll plus my expenses to travel up there, and I'll come and do an event. That way, I really think I'm smart here. I'm thinking I'm hedging my bets here. I'm at least putting a little money in my pocket. He sells it out. He sells the room to capacity at $500 a head. And I'm thinking, dude, I just gave this guy all this money, right? But I'm not mad about it because he's putting this event on for me, full house of people. I closed a ton of people from that event. And this guy was a huge advocate for me, sent me tons of referrals, really advocated for me. And so here was another time where I kind of plateaued and I was kind of like, oh man, you know, I'm still not quite breaking through where I want. I'm making decent money. It's going pretty well, but it's still not, you know, where I want it to be. And that conversation, that was about 6 years into my journey, was the thing that just pushed me right over the top. So that was great. The last thing, the last challenge that I ran into was, I think, a thing that was challenging for a lot of people, COVID. COVID happened. I do a lot of trainings for companies, organizations, all this stuff. And I do a lot of one-on-one coaching for the types of businesses that were shut down or had to shut down because they work with people during COVID. So when that happened, even though they only shut down for 2 weeks and most people were fine, I lost a bunch of clients because they were freaked out. I mean, when things shut down, they called me and canceled immediately. All the events that I had scheduled for the next 2 years, gone. And that was really challenging. I mean, that took my business from, man, we were humming. We were like a well-oiled machine. It was going great, to our revenue dipped over 50% almost overnight. And I thought, oh my God, like, how are we going to survive? And we got some protection from different payroll things and things that they did there to, you know, keep my team employed and all that kind of stuff. But that was a real harrowing moment. And events didn't come back for quite some time. I mean, I've had clients where I did an event for them last year. It was the first time they've done an in-person event since COVID, right? That's like 3 years later, their first time they're doing that. So, man, I've had, you know, people look at success as being kind of a linear thing, right? That we start from one point and get to another. But it really is a lot of dips, you know, peaks and valleys, dips, things like that. And I've experienced that, you know, over the years in my business for sure.
Yeah, Brendan. So I appreciate that. Thank you. Like, it's great being able to hear. Well, I got a couple of different things. And one of them was like the components of just not having to do it all alone, right?
Yeah.
And it's actually like in all those examples, there's almost like three different ways it showed up. One was like, you know, the two different opportunities where someone came in and created something for you. Then the other one is like, hey, look, we have like the team here is working on things here. Let me ask you, if you had to boil down with someone, like, what's like one of the bigger takeaways that you've had from those experiences for yourself?
Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, don't be afraid to lean into other people too. There's so many people who want to help us, but you know, for some of us, we're not good at that. I know I'm one of those people. So it's just not being afraid to ask for help. Like when you need help, there's a lot of people who know a lot of people who know a lot of things that are happy to help you if you just let them do it.
It was really cool to me when you talked about like not having a like a ton of connections, like a few, it's like a handful of things that have really worked out. What are some of the things that you found to work well for you in relationships? And let me make sure I ask this properly. What, so Brandon, as I ask you a question, I can hear when I sound like an interviewer and when I don't. I was like, so tell me about some of the things, right? I'm like, that's not what I want to have here. I do want to like have a conversation. The reason that it's interesting to me is that I'm at a stage right now where like I am building out my business and getting it to be just to be, I want to say more solid, but it's beyond that. Like, I want to be like, I know what it is. I believe a lot in like, why be the best if you can be the only, right? So like, mm-hmm. so like, if you can be the only, you don't have to worry about being the best. And now though, there's something that grabbed hold of me in 2023 that like has thrown a wrench in everything, which is like, well, why not be the only and the best? Like, why not why not bring both of those up at the same, to the same level, right? And so, as I think about this, I think about relationships. You know, one of the things I love is meeting people, right? It's part, like, I love going out there. How would you, so I'm asking kind of from that this point of view where it's like, all right, I'm great at relationships. Well, I like people. I don't know if I'm great at relationships. That's two different things, you know? When it comes to the like cultivating and building relationships that matter versus like having people in your world or just knowing a lot of people, like you talk about having a lot of connections and things like that, what would you say are some of the things that made the difference for you in making like a relationship work for you? And I really do mean for you, Brandon. Like, I want to get to see like what's like your style on it, because it kind of fuels up some ideas for me as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me personally, because I'm a curious person, I invest a lot in learning more about people. Like, who am I talking to? What do they care about? What are they scared of? All those kinds of things. So when I meet people, I will deep dive into like who they are, what they care about, what motivates them. Like, I want to know like what that looks like, because if I know that, then my approach is how can I create value for this person? Like, I'm looking for how can I serve versus be served? Like, being served might be a byproduct of service to other people. So I'm always looking for ways that I can impact people in a positive way, in a way that's of service to them. And I'm always looking for that and seeing, you know, who are the people that are really interested in wanting to have a relationship, because not everyone is, right? You've probably met people who are like, oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah, thanks for that. And then you never talk to them again and that's it. So, you know, I really think about, you know, how do I connect in my own way? And I'm not one of those people that's like a super connector that's always writing people thank you notes and doing all those things. But if I am talking to you, then what I do is I try to really make that conversation a worthwhile thing that's very impactful, that isn't about like, how can you help me and do something for me? But hey, tell me about what's going on. What's happening for you? What's going on in your life? So I really try to really dive into the individual person and how I can really serve them and help them. And so that's the thing I really focus on in any interaction that I have with people.
Yeah, like it's actually warming up my heart here. The word serve really plays out where there's I'm just like finding a connection to being in that. And I, you know, I think a lot about just this conversation, the outliers of here. It's like, what does service really look like? And one of the things I'm pulling away from that is to serve first and just be in service and allow things to just evolve as they evolve. But knowing that you're putting in like, I don't know, just like the good fertilizer to the relationship there. Awesome. 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 Let's see this, Brandon. Let's see here. Let me ask you this question. So far, what has been one insight and one outside that you have from our conversation so far? So an insight would be something for you, and an outside would be something for anyone that's listening here. You can do it in any order you like, but what would be good for you?
Ask that question one more time. What's the outside again?
The outside is just like a takeaway like that you have for anyone that's listening right now, any outlier that's listening right here. What's one thing that like based on our conversation so far that you like to share with them as like an outside?
Yeah. So like, it's something that we just talked about actually. So when we think about serving other people, it's really easy, I think, at times to serve people from a place of maybe not from a place of power, from a place of like, all I have of value is service. So I use that really powerfully. One of the things that I noticed about myself is when our business really grew and it got crazy, I found that my attitude, unfortunately, changed not from service to starting to feel entitled and almost thinking that I am more important than I was. And then I found myself treating people that way. And so when you were talking about that, it kind of brought that up for me of remembering like there was a time where I started to get a little full of myself when I was really like we were so in demand right before COVID and things were just crazy. And I felt like I treated people in a way at times where I was very dismissive, very kind of like, hey, if you don't like it, get the hell out of here type of thing. And man, it really bothered me that I did that. And I kind of recognized that in myself. And I was like, what is that about? Right. And I think it's so important as you grow to remember those things that, like, hey, if service and serving others is what got you here, once you get to a place where you've built some traction, don't forget that that's the thing that's probably going to continue to move you forward. And I think I burnt some bridges and ended some relationships in ways that weren't necessarily mean-spirited, but were very dismissive and really ego-centered, right? I let my ego kind of get in the way. And I think it's really easy. People say, hey, don't read your own press, right? For good or for bad. But I felt like I was really reading my own press and feeling pretty good about myself. And then I kind of forgot about what got me there a little bit. That was a real learning lesson for me and something that, as you were talking about, just kind of came up for me that like that's something we have to be aware of when we're in this arc of trying to grow and be successful.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that in because, so my experience with it is like I forgot service, like so myself. I thought I'm like I need to get more systems in place, more. I need to get like I need to understand like all like the business economics of things. Let me just like go to the spreadsheets, and it's like let's move things from that way. And even as you're talking, I'm like, yeah, and I forgot what was actually important, which was just how are you out there serving, like how are you out there, yeah, just being of service and that component of what got you. It's interesting because I often say to people, I'm like, what got you here won't get you there. But it's also, but like at another side of it, it's like what got you here will also get you there. So
Sure.
don't throw that, don't throw it, don't like give it all up along the way. So I appreciate that. I like there's elements of this, Brandon, that I think through and I try and think through about like, all right, let's wrap up the conversation around here. If you, I'd like for you to talk to an outlier right now who has created something, has a business that's like that's taken off, right? That's really in a space where it's like it's working well. I like this idea of like staying true to what matters and staying true to you as that goes on. And if there's anything you have either in terms of a story of like where you're like, hey, I have to like actually challenge myself to stay in alignment with what was real for Brandon, and or like yeah, let's just start with that. If you had to like if there's a place you had to challenge yourself in that space, I feel like there's some people out there right now who are y'all you're talking about that arc like like when things really started taking off. And I almost like would love for you to talk to share something like, I know what's happening right now, Brandon. There's a part of me right now that doesn't feel like I've hit that arc fully, right? And so like, so to know, I know that there's a deep curiosity around it, but to know what the right question is to ask of it, it's not coming from a place of having been there. And I'm like, so tell me about your experience with this. That didn't, how was that for you? Instead, I'm like, okay, you've seen something that I haven't seen. I'm really curious about some of the things that you've seen while there. And I know that there's some other outliers who are listening to this who have been there. So, you have any thoughts on that?
So Henry David Thoreau said that if you've built castles in the sky, your work need not be lost. Now build the foundations underneath them, right? And I'm paraphrasing that. That may not be exactly the quote, but I always think about that because as a business owner, we're building castles in the sky. And we spend so much time trying to grow like hell. And we try to grow, grow, grow. Like, is this viable? Is it going to work? Like, we spend so much time in that. And what we forget is to really define, like, what does it mean to really live wealthy? It's not just about the work that we do. In fact, if that's the only thing that you care about, I don't even really want to work with someone like that. I'm not interested in someone who only cares about work success. But for most of us, we're very much multifaceted people. We're family people. We're people who have hobbies. We're people who have other talents and abilities that lie outside of the work that we do. We're people who love to be of service to other people and maybe philanthropic in our efforts in doing that. And so, as you grow your business, the question is not only what is my game that I'm trying to play at work, but what is the game that I'm hoping that work does for the rest of my life? And so, what I tell people is, the question I ask is, are you using your life to serve your work, or are you using your work to serve your life? And I think that's such an important distinction to make as you get to that kind of that growth arc where you start to grow, is it gets away from us. And then what I notice for people is they're super stressed out, they're burned out, they're not sure what to do, but it's really because they're not only are they incongruent with their values, but they're really not doing the things outside of work that really feed them, that really matter to them. And so it's just really about being mindful of all the different facets of who you are, all the different facets of success that you want to create, and making sure that those things are very well aligned, because we're all guilty of going too far in a certain area and then trying to unwind that and wind it back so that we can get some semblance of our life that we really want to live. But I think for a lot of people, they're not really clear about that. So I think it really is important to take time and really think about, what do I want? Not just out of work, but also out of, what do I want work to do for me that I'm not doing now? How do I want work to really serve my life in a powerful way? And really get clear on that and make sure that everything you're doing supports all of those things, not just the work part.
All right. Thank you so much there, Brandon. Well, I think this is a good time for us to start wrapping up this conversation here. Brandon, for anyone who would love to like just continue down the journey with you to find out more about, not just more about what you're doing, but yeah, to find out more about it and also like to potentially work with you or to keep growing with you, what's the best way that they can do that?
Yeah, you can go to newworkrevolution.com. That's our website. There's a lot of information on there, free tools. You can sign up for our newsletter. I'm on a lot of different social media platforms. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Facebook, all those different things. I love connecting with people through those mediums as well. And for people who, want to talk more, I'm always happy to talk with people. So, if you want to have a conversation, you want to talk with me and get a little deeper into your situation, I'm always happy to do that. So don't hesitate to reach out.
All right, that sounds fantastic. Last question for you here is, we call it the time capsule question here, and it's you've lived a lot right now. You've gone, taken us through your journey. You've seen a lot of different things right now, and there's still more to come. So, like, what's the message? The time capsule is, it's almost as if you left a message for yourself in this moment that you wouldn't go back and hear for another 10 to 15 years. What's the message you would leave for yourself today that you would want to remind yourself of in about 10, 15 years?
Yeah. So 10, 15 years from now.
10, 15 years from now, from you
Yeah.
to you.
I mean, I think the biggest thing is don't doubt your service and your purpose. Like, remember what that is. I mean, I get into spaces like I think a lot of people do, where we start to question our value, we start to question our ability. And so for me, it's like, never forget that. Never forget the impact that you make for people, the enthusiasm for which you do it, and the joy and the value you get out of that service through the coaching work that you do.
Well, thank you for that, Brandon. We're going to end it here. I appreciate you sharing your journey. I appreciate you bringing all of you. I appreciate you presence here and giving us the benefit of both your past experiences and what you're up to now, what's happening later. Thank you again. And here's the thing, like, just keep journeying on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.